Hey, I would like to take a look at something that, I'll be honest with you, has bothered me for years. And it's one of those things that, as a Valkyria, kind of creeps under your skin. When you get to the end of Parshat Bechukotai, there's a certain sense of time doubling or something. You read the Tochacha, which of course is the highlight, low light, whatever you want to call it, the most famous piece of Bechukotai. And you get to the end of the Tochacha, and it sounds like a powerful ending. Matter of fact, the last few psukim, we're going to look at them, of the Tochacha, the reproof, the rebuke, that makes up most of chapter 26, ends with this glorious, proper coda. And then there's a whole chapter afterwards, which is what I like to focus on, which sort of the colloquial way of naming the shir is, why is Parakav Zion Parakav Zion? Why is chapter 27 where it is? It doesn't belong there. And I've laid out a few questions here to kind of guide us in the way we look at it, but let's take a look at the end of the Tocha to demonstrate the problem. The Tocha, by the way, is, and we've talked about this in previous years, is seems to be a model for the later Tochacha, the one that's at the end of the Torah in Parsha Ki Tavo. But they are different in some critical ways, and Chazal already pointed out the differences in Masachet Megillah. And one of the critical ways is that the Tochacha in Sefer Dvarim, the rebuke in the end of Dvarim, ends on a terrible note. It goes down and down and down and down and down and hits absolute bottom. And then it says, that's all, folks, without the Elmer Fudd noise. The Tochacha here ends off with a lot of positive stuff, positive remembrances, a brit, a commitment to bringing us back to the land. As a matter of fact, it becomes a little bit more of a challenge, because one of the customs we have is the Baal Kriya reads the Tochacha in an undertone very fast, which is a challenge if you normally read very fast, but we somehow turn it up to mock speed. And in Dvarim, it's very easy. You just go zoom all the way to the end. Here, and there's interesting discussions between Bali Kriya about which psukim you suddenly slow down and read loud, and which you go low again for, because they're positive and negative. It's almost the same phenomenon we have with using the Echa trope or the regular Haftarah trope in Chazon, because towards the end of Chazon, it goes positive and then it goes negative again. We have the same sort of thing here. So the first verse here, which is getting towards the end of the Tocha, that I have is highlighted, and I believe all people, all customs, have that pasuk being read out loud. So after this rebuke and all of the terrible things that are going to happen to us, I'm not saying them, you can read them, but being defeated, being exiled, hunger, etc. V'zacharti et b'riti Yaakov, v'afet b'riti Yitzchak, v'afet b'riti Avraham Ezkor, v'ha'aretz Ezkor. I remember my brit with Yaakov, and with Yitzchak, and with Avraham, and I remember the land. And in the meantime, the land will not produce anything for the enemies who are there. And then I will not reject my people when they are out. If you take a look at the third line, l'hafer briti itam, I will not reject or cancel out my covenant with them. Kiani adonai lohem, v'zacharti lohem brit rishonim. Right? This is a phrase, of course, that we're familiar with from Slichot. I will remember the brit with the early ones. Asher tzeti etam eretz Yisrael, they now are going to Yod Lahem Elohim, Ani Adonai, and that's a different brit. So the first pasuk on this page indicates the brit with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The brit here is the brit with those who left Egypt, a different generation. And then it ends. Eila chukim v'mishpatim v'torot. This is not just talking about the Tochacha. This is talking about, it seems like, all of Sefer Vayikra. These are the laws and the statutes and the instructions, however you want to translate those words, Asher Natan Adonai Beino Uvein Bnei Yisrael Bahar Sinai Beyad Moshe. And we think this is the end of Vayikra, and suddenly we start thinking this isn't the end of Vayikra, this is the end of Vayikra and Shmot. This is all the laws that Hashem gave to Moshe at Har Sinai. And at that point you are tempted to yell out with great joy, Chazak, Chazak, Venit Chazek. And then the poor guy holding the next Aliyah card said, what happened to me? But it's not the end of the Sefer. and you are looking for something. Well, if there's more to this sefer, it's got to be glorious. And what happens in Devarim when the Tocha is over? You have this massive brit, and then you have Ha'azinu, and then you have Moshe's bracha, and Moshe goes to the top of the mountain, and it ends with a real climax. Here you would expect something very exciting to happen at the end. What happens at the end? So take a look. By the Baruch Amar Moshe Devor, the Bel Bnei Yisrael Taliyem, Iish Kiafli Nedeber Kachan Nefashot L'Adonai. So we start chapter 27 to what happens if a person wants to dedicate his value, and then we have the Parsha of Arachim, which is if it's a boy and if it's a girl and if it's the sage and if it's that age, this is the amount of money you give. And then there's a whole Parsha of dedicating land and Cherem that goes to Hashem and Cherem that goes to the Kohanim. And if you dedicate an animal and you're not allowed to do Tmura, and then Stei Achuzah and how they're redeemed and what the value of the redemption there is, and I'm going a little bit out of order. And then it ends with the following. Take a look at source 3. This is the end of Sefer Vayikra, this added chapter, as it were. B'chol ma'asar bakar batzon, every tenth animal of the flock and the herd, and the flock, kol asher yavor tachat ha'shavet. And this is the Mishnah in the last parak of B'chorot, that you have the animals that are freshly born come through the corral, and you tap them, and we hit number 10, that one is ma'asar. You're not allowed to distinguish between a good one and a bad one, and you're not allowed to swap them. This is the Yisur known as Tmura. And if you do a Tmura, it's valid, which leads to a very interesting sugya at the beginning of Masachet Tmura of if you violate the law, is the action a valid action? And this is an exception to the rule. Here, if you violate the law, even though you did the wrong thing, the action is valid, and both of them are Kodesh. And then we end with Eila Hamitzvot Asher Tziva Adonai Moshe Bnei Yisrael Bar Sinai. And you got to sort of say, what happened here? Why is this chapter here? Now, part of that question has to carry with it, well, where would you want it? Where else should it be? And therefore, I made a few suggestions, right? Which is that either it could be earlier in Vayikra, because this entire chapter is related to offerings to the Mishkan and to the Mizbeach, and so therefore earlier on, maybe in Pashat Tzav, when Nidarim are introduced, Nidarim of Korbanot are introduced, you could have it. You could have it maybe in Parshat Emor, which talks about Korbanot brought on Chagim. Or a more reasonable place to have it would have been back in Ki Tisa. I didn't even list that here, which is in the section of Machzid HaShekel, and all the donations to the Mikdash and to the Mishkan. Or if you want, put it into Bamidbar, right next to the law of the Nazir. Because why? What does that do with a Nazir? A Nazir opens his mouth and commits to something, and that affects him, and it brings Korbanot, and he's bound by certain prohibitions, etc. So same thing here. These are all situations that we refer to in Halacha as Hafla'ah. The Rambam wrote a whole book about it called Sefer Hafla'ah, one of the 14 volumes of the Mishnah Torah, expression, which is when you open your mouth and express something, and it has a halachic impact, vows, oaths, etc. So put it there. And perhaps the best place to put it would be at the end of Bamidbar, not the end of Bamidbar, the beginning of Parshat Matot, chapter 30 of Bamidbar, which is about vows. Parshav Nidarim. What is this doing here? It is Vayikra, it's not Vayikra. If it is Vayikra, put it before the Tochacha and have the rebuke, which is a contract. If you follow the mitzvot, this will happen. If you follow the mitzvot, this will happen. Have it be at the end and have it include everything. If on the other hand, it's not part of Vayikra, so end Vayikra with the Tochacha and put this in Bamidbar somewhere or in Shvot somewhere where it belongs. But its location is bizarre. And it kind of sticks in your throat like, Nishtahi, Nishtahir. It's not here, it's not there. What's it doing here? So there'll be two ways to approach the problem. One way would be to look at chapter 27 on its own, try to figure out what it is about, and why it has this sort of unique place, which is Vayikra, but out of Vayikra, on the fringes of Vayikra. But I don't think that's the way to go, because that's not going to solve anything. What we really have to figure out is, what is inside Vayikra? It sounds like it's a huge job and to be here for several weeks. It's lots of food. But it's not. Because we're going to look at it in a panoramic view and try to understand why the Tochacha is where it is. Why this contract of punish, reward and punishment. If you follow my laws, you will be successful, there will be rain in the land, there will be so much produce, you will be successful, there won't be any war, etc. And if you reject them, boom, 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 all the way to exile, but I'll hold on to the land for you, nobody else will be successful in the land, and ultimately I'll remember the Brit and bring you back to the land. Fini. What is that whole section about? And I'm going to ask a different question, which is, where does that section begin? And we have, really, I think, three choices. The most obvious choice is to take a look at Source 4. Source 4 is the beginning of Parshat Bahar, which this year in Chutz La'aretz we're reading together. In Eretz Yisrael, they're already doing only B'chukotai this week. But we read Bahar B'chukotai together, and we get to see this picture a little better. Because how does the Tochacha end? Take a look at the end of Source 1, Bahar Sinai. Take a look at Source 4. How does it start? Vayedaber Adonai el Moshe l'mor. Sorry, I take it back. That's Source 4. Take a look back at Source 8 on the back page. Vayedaber Adonai Moshe b'har Sinai l'mor. And then Shemitah is introduced. So most people take a look at it and say, ah, there's this unit at the end of Vayikra, which is sort of not exactly Vayikra. It's sort of Shmot, pushed. And it's the beginning of Bahar, Bahar Sinai, and it ends with Bahar Sinai. And it's a nice inclusio, beginning and ending with the same phrase. I tell you that's about it. And there's a good argument for that being a separate unit. Because what seems to be the driving force behind both the reward and especially the punishment, it seems to be violating Shemitah. And that's why the number 7 keeps showing up in the punishment. I will punish you sevenfold for this. And the land will rest because of the Shemitot that you didn't give it. It's exactly what happens in Yirmiyahu. You have to be in exile to make up for all the Shemitot that you didn't let the land rest. And so it seems that this Tochacha, this Bracha and Kala, is really a response to the laws of Shemitah and everything that follows from the Yovel and etc. And that this is what will happen if you observe it and if you don't observe it. And that means we have a closed unit here. And then you got to ask the question, why is it at the end of Vayikra? Why isn't it in Shemot Bahar Sinai? After all, where is Vayikra dictated? The very first verse of Vayikra tells us that the book is being dictated in the Ohel Moed, in the Mishkan. Vayikra Moshe v'adibar Adonai elav me'ohel moed le'mor. Boom. So the first temptation is to say that the Tochacha is really the end of a small unit. And then you got to ask a different question besides location, to why they put it here, is why is they, be capital T, you understand me? God put it in. The second question is, are you going to tell me that with all of the other mitzvot that we have, Avodah Zarah, Shabbat, everything else that we've got, Shemitah is the only one that stands out as being something you have to put this reward and punishment on? What about everything else? So you say the Tochacha is only about Shemitah? It's a little strange. It's a second possibility. The second possibility is that the Tochacha is really the end of Vayikra, meaning Vayikra is the beginning of the book of Vayikra, and at the very end of Vayikra, we have this reward and punishment. Makes sense, except that there's something missing. We've got an end, we don't really have a beginning. Because if you look very carefully at Source 7 on the page, Source 7 is the beginning of Vayikra. You'll notice that I put three dots in front of it for a very simple reason. Look at the end of Source 6, right above it. That's the end of Shemot. How does Shemot end? The cloud comes and rests on the Mishkan, and the cloud is with Bnei Yisrael as long as they travel. Vayikra el Moshe. We do chazak chazak v'nit chazek. We take a whole week off. But if you read the Torah, you'll realize that Vayikra el Moshe is almost the same pasuk. It's just a continuation. The cloud rests, and Hashem calls Moshe and calls him in. Which means Vayikra is not really a beginning of anything. So we have to dig back a little further.
What?
So in Kitavo you've got, first of all, a very different one, a much harsher one, like I said, with ends with just desperation, terrible stuff. And second of all, it doesn't have at all the same problem of location. Because in Kitavo it's presented as part of Moshe's farewell speech. And after the Numa Mitzvot that we talked about a couple times ago, I think a year and a half ago in the summer, almost 2 years ago about the order of the mitzvot, then there's this series of covenanting experiences, which includes coming to Har Grizim and Har Ival and the Bracha and Kala, and it includes this Bracha and Kala, and then it includes the public brit, which is Atem Nitzavim, and then it includes the song about the brit, which is Hazinu, which is like lots of covenanting stuff as Moshe is about to die. But there's no location problem because we're done with all the mitzvot, and now, meaning sequentially, the mitzvot presentation has happened, and now what we have is the steps towards farewell. But here, there's really a location problem. Does it make sense what it's doing here? Yeah.
What's before Shemot Kari
Yichav? Yeah, we're going to take a look at that. We're going to do that right now. Okay? Because I think that the beginning of this is far, far earlier. Far earlier. So let's take a look at it. If you take a look back on the first page, you will see that there is a process that begins on top of Har Sinai. So I ask you the following question. What happened when Moshe went up to the top of Har Sinai? Not to discuss with God whether or not Bnei Israel are going to get the Torah and whether or not they're going to separate from their wives, etc. Those are all the preparatory things. But when Moshe Rabbeinu went to the top of Har Sinai, what did he get?
Which time?
When he went up for 40 days, what did he get?
Got the Ten Commandments.
No, we didn't. That had we already gotten, meaning in what form?
Tablet.
Okay, so tablet at the very end of the 40 days. But what do you get over 40 days?
Torah.
About what? About what? Okay? Good. So let's take a look, because it may surprise you. The chronology of things, as presented in Parshat Yitro Mishpatim, is that Moshe Rabbeinu comes up to the top of Har Sinai, and Hashem says, okay, tell Bnei Israel, we're going to look at what he says. Do they want to enter the brit? Come back, because they want to enter the brit. Okay, you got to separate for 3 days. Okay, you got to separate for 3 days. Make sure he stays away from them. Okay, da-da-da. Where is Moshe Rabbeinu when Hashem finally descends on Har Sinai and says the Aseret HaDibrot? Where is Moshe Rabbeinu? The answer is he's at the foot of the mountain with the people.
This is after the first 40 days.
No, this is right at the beginning.
That's the very beginning.
The very beginning. It's a few days, 3 days, up and down. And then Moshe Rabbeinu is at the foot of the mountain with everybody else. Hashem comes down and says what he says. And then the people turn to Moshe and say, you go and get the rest, we're afraid. So Moshe tells him not to be afraid. Moshe comes closer at the foot of the mountain inside the cloud. And Hashem gives him a lot of mitzvot. We'll talk about what those are. And then Hashem says, come up to the mountain and I'll give you the Torah. That's what he says. Moshe goes out of the cloud first, builds a mizbeach, builds 12 matzevot, brings korbanot, does a whole covenanting ceremony, and reads something called Sefer Abit. We're going to look at that. Then he goes up to the top of the mountain, and he's there for however long he's going to be there. It gets interrupted, so he's only there for 40 days. It gets interrupted because of the Egel. But what is he told when he's up there? One series of commands, and that is the Mishkan. That's it. He's given the commands for how to build the Mishkan. At least that's what we're told. And we're given all the commands of the Mishkan, and then Hashem says, you better go down because they messed up. Now, does that mean that Hashem was going to give him more and interrupted? Does that mean he was going to stay there more and go over the Mishkan? We don't know. We don't know because it didn't happen. And he comes down, and then the rest of Sefer Shemot, which you asked about what's between Shemot, Chafei, and Mem, is then actually building the Mishkan, taking care of the angle problem, and then building the Mishkan. And we're going to take a look at the whole sequence. And then once the Mishkan is built, Sefer Vayikra kicks in. Let's take a look.
So are you saying there's always an intent to have a Mishkan then?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying what happened. I do not know. I'm not addressing that. I'm saying what happened. So take a look now in... We're going to start from the beginning.
Question, and I'll say.
Okay, so... here's where I think we should start. And I'm going to borrow from a pasuk in Dvarim to show us the way. Because we don't know what to make of the Tochacha, except that it's referred to elsewhere in the Torah, which is a somewhat rare occurrence for a passage in the Torah to be referred to elsewhere in the Torah. And where is that? So I told you that there's two tochachot. There's the one in Vayikra and the one in Dvarim. Please take a look at passage 10. Passage 10 is the end of the tochacha in Dvarim. And what does it say? Eile divrei habrit, these are the words of the covenant, shetzivah adonai Moshe lichot to Bnei Yisrael be'eretz Moav, that Hashem told Moshe to make with Bnei Yisrael in Moav, milvan habrit asher karati tam b'choreb, besides the brit, parallel, reward and punishment, that Hashem made with them at Har Chorev. So now I know, what am I to make of the rebuke in Vayikra? Brit. It's a brit. Very good. Now let's get started. Take a look at source 11. This is where I believe where it all starts. Bnei Yisrael come to Har Sinai. By the way, where are Bnei Yisrael during the entire dictation of Sefer Vayikra? Har Sinai. Not on top of the mountain, at the foot of the mountain with the Mishkan, but they're at Har Sinai. They're at Har Sinai also through the first 10 chapters of Amidbar until they take off. So from the middle of Shmot all the way to the beginning of Amidbar, it's all happening in Har Sinai. Some outside, some on top of the mountain, some in the Mishkan. They're all at the same location, more or less.
Is that Chorev? Same thing?
Chorev is another word for Sinai, correct.
So what does this passage mean again, the way you're reading it?
Which? This is in Dvarim, right? And that's the summary pasuk. These are the words of the brit. Milvad habrit asher karatam b'chorev. Besides the brit, the disayin chorev, which means the parallel event that we're reading about in Vayikra, is called a brit, divrei habrit. And by the way, if you're not convinced by that, go back and take a look at source one, and you will see what words keep coming up in Vayikra. The Zacharti Briti, that Briti Yitzchak, Briti Avraham, Lahafer Briti Itam, the Zacharti Lem Brit Rishonim. And by the way, even in the middle of the Tochad, look at source, how do you call it? Look at source 9. Rehiveti Alechem Cherev Nokemet Nikam Brit. Even in the middle of the Tochachad, it's referred to as a Brit. We have to figure out what a Brit is. But it seems that this is the signature, the end of the contract of a brit. Why do I say the end of a contract? Because we're no in Vayikra. This because in Vayikra it says besides the brit in Chorev, which is this one.
But it's still one brit.
No, there's a brit in I wrote Moab, and 40 years earlier there's a brit in Chorev, and that's what ends at the end of Vayikra. We are familiar, lots of documentation in the Near East. Is that the way that a it's called a suzerain, but like the conquering leader makes a contract with the vassal, with the small little Caribbean island, if you will, that wants to become under their protection, is they sign a contract, this is what you're obligated to do, this is the protection we'll serve, and then at the end, there are clear terms of reward and especially of consequences for violation. And so the Torah is following that same model. There's a brit. It's a covenant. It's an agreement. But it's an agreement with a clearly unique nuance because it contains something more than just, you've got to be loyal to me or else. And it's phenomenal. Let's start from the beginning. It starts at Har Sinai. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Moshe at the beginning? We're going to read this a week from Sunday morning. Some of us at some really crazy hour. Right? V'chodesh ha'shlishi, source 11. V'tzei b'nei Yisrael, me'etzitzorim v'yom hazeh ba'u midbar Sinai. They come to Sinai. V'yisu me'afidim v'yavo'u midbar Sinai v'achanu ba'midbar. So they come and they camp on the midbar. V'yichan sham Yisrael neged ahar. Famously, they camp like one person. V'yichan. V'moshe alai v'alohim v'yikrai alai v'adonai min ahar. V'mor kol torah b'nei v'vet Yaakov v'teged b'nei Yisrael. Right? So, go tell everybody. I brought you to me. And here we go. Ushmartem et briti. What am I offering you? I'm offering you a brit. You could take it or leave it. Now, of course, Chazal turned the take it or leave it into take it or bury here, but take it or leave it. I'm giving you a brit. You'll be my treasure from among the nations. What is the brit? The brit is that you will be a kingdom of Kohanim and a holy nation. Goy Kadosh. That's who you're going to be if you accept the brit. What do Bnei Israel say? They say yes. Hashem says separate, etc., etc. On and on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down and starts presenting the brit. Anochi Adonai, the introduction of the brit. Lo Yalachalim Achrim, loyalty to Hashem, etc., etc. Yaser Tadvarim. It continues, but Bnei Yisrael don't want to hear the rest, so the rest is told through Moshe. And what's the rest of the Brit? Well, what happens right after the Aseret HaDibrot? There's a particular command about the altar, and then there's Parshat Mishpatim. And what's Parshat Mishpatim about? It's about establishing a just society and making sure that there is a legal system in force and that there's proper equitable treatment and all of the laws of damages and of bails, etc., of shomrim, all of that is set up. And that ends with a minor section of reward and punishment at the end of Mishpatim. Okay? What happens at the end of that? Not necessarily chronologically, but as it's sequentially in the text, as Moshe then comes out and makes a brief. What does he do? Take a look here at passage 12. You guys come to the mountain. Moshe alone will come all the way up. The nation doesn't come up at all. What happens? Vayavo Moshe. He calls attention to this because it's the critical middle point in our whole process. He tells everybody the laws. Which laws? The laws that he alone heard. Where? At the bottom of the mountain in the cloud, because the people didn't want to come close. They were frightened. So he comes out and he tells them, Arba Shomrim, and Arba Avot Nezikim, and all of the laws, right? Vayan kol ha'am kol achad vayamru, what does everybody say? Kol ha'advayim asher dibar Adonai na'aseh. We'll do it all. Na'aseh. Vayichtol Moshe et kol divrei Adonai. What does Moshe then do? He writes it all down. Now this is not a Sefer Torah. This is part. Vayashkem ba'boker vayivin izbeach tachar ahar. He builds a mizbeach.
Right, now this is...
Ushtem?
After how many days was this now?
This is after a day. We don't have any time. No time frame.
This is before the 40 days?
There's no 40 days. We don't know about 40 days.
Okay.
Ushtem yaseh matzeval, ushtem yaseh shiftei Yisrael. He sets up 12 steels. Vayishtachen narei b'nei Yisrael vayalu alot. Then he sends the young men, maybe b'chorot, to do korbanot. Vayizbuchu zvachim shtalamim v'adonai parim, famous pasuk with the punctuation problem. He puts half the dam in these cups. The other half he puts on the mizbeach. What does he do with the dam and the cups? Sefer Habrit. Oh, Sefer Habrit. What's Sefer Habrit? It's what he wrote down so far. He reads it in front of them. Now, what's different? Beforehand, he told them Baal Peh. Now he's reading it from the scroll. That's where Na'aseh V'Nishma is. When he reads it from the scroll of Divrei Habrit, Sefer Habrit.
Is that the first time you see that?
It's the only time you see it.
Yeah.
Vayikach Moshe et ha'dam, vayizrok ha'am. Then he takes the dam, the other half of the dam, and he puts it on the people. According to many Rishonim, he put it on the 12 steels representing the tribes, so it wasn't really on the people. Vayomer, he named dam habrit. What's this dam? Dam habrit. Brit, brit, brit. Hashem starts by saying, if you want to be in my brit, this is what we'll be. And then Moshe comes out and says, this is Sefer Habrit, and this is Dam Habrit. It's all Brit. That God has made with you over all these commands. It's a Brit. And then Moshe goes up, and he goes up to the top of the mountain, etc. And then later we find out he's up there 40 days, but that wasn't necessarily the plan. He's up there 40 days. What happens? He's given the mitzvot of the Mishkan. Why? Because what we have is a Brit. And remember the beginning of it. The brit is that Hashem is going to have us become a mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. And that means sitting in the middle of our camp, in the middle of our nation, is a place of meeting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the place of Kedushah. So the first thing you have to do is to construct it. And it has to be constructed exactly the way commanded. And if you take a look carefully through the psukim that are in passage 5 and passage 6, which are about construction of the Mishkan, there is a phrase that repeats over and over at the end of Sefer Shemot, which is Ka'asher Tziva Adonai et Moshe. He made the Aron, and he made the Kruvim, and he made the Krashim, and he made the Mishkan, everything exactly the way that Hashem told Moshe, which is critical because that's exactly what the problem with the Egel was, Lo Tziva. And that later becomes the problem with Nadav and Abihu, Lo Tziva. You do it exactly the way that God commanded. So you make this place of meeting that's absolute Kedushah. Then what starts? The very next step is, as soon as that Mishkan is dedicated, is, okay, now how are we going to effectively meet with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The answer is Korbanot. And who's going to be the people who are going to be our intermediaries? The answer is Kohanim. We have to invest the Kohanim. I'm just walking you through Vayikra now. And then what's going to happen? Well, there's a little story in the middle of that, which says this is what happens if you get too close. If you don't manage the proper balance, you get too close. You get too much ecstasy in that religious experience, and that's not Davar Avihu, which is why Moshe says, "Be Krovaya Kadesh." I'm sanctified from the ones who come close to me. They came too close. And then what do we have? Well, guess what? There's a Mishkan. The Mishkan can become defiled. And what comes next in Vayikra? All the animals that defile, and then a Vela defiles, and then if a woman gives birth, and then a Metzora, and then a Zav, and then a Nida, etc. The whole picture. What happens if it becomes defiled? I'm just walking through Vayikra now. What happens if it becomes defiled? The Kohen Gadol has to cleanse it. That's called Yom HaKippurim. And at the end we find out that that's going to be once a year. Okay, we've got the Mishkan. Now let's think about it. We've started out with a holy society. We then went back and said, you start by building that center point where God and the people meet. Once you've constructed it, then we talk about how you're going to interact and warnings and the things that can defile it and how you cleanse it. Good. Now let's move out of the camp. And chapter 17 is an interesting bridge because chapter 17 is the prohibition against bringing korbanot outside. That's the bridge to the outside of the Mishkan. And then the rest of it is the sanctity of the machaneh. Because what's the next thing after that? Arayot. Not how you live in the Mishkan, but how you live at home, and who you live with, and who you don't live with. And right after that is kedoshim tihiyu. How you live a sanctified life in your regular life. And what happens after that? Then suddenly we have the chagim coming in. The Kohanim we talked about last week, and the Chagim coming in, all of these pieces, and then there's the other narrative in Vayikra. What's the other narrative? We had it last week. We didn't talk about it in Shir, but in the last week, Barsha, is this Makalel. Why is the story of Makalel here? I get an Adav Raviyu, because it's all about the Mishkan. Why is this guy who goes and curses God, why is he in Vayikra? Because where did he curse God? Vayinatsu b'machaneh. He comes out into public, and he's angry at somebody, and he yells at somebody, curses the guy, and invokes God's name in the curse. We'll talk about why this is such a violation, why it belongs in Vayikra. And we bring it back, and we move out from the Mishkan to the Machaneh to the land. The Machaneh writ large is Eretz Yisrael, Shemitah, Yovel. And suddenly, did you notice that in Parshat Bahar, it's almost like we went back to Mishpatim? Eved Ivri, redeeming land. It's like we've gone back to Mishpatim. Because remember, it all comes back to a holy society. Holy society. That's the Brit. The Brit is between one and one. One God and one nation. And the one nation, corporate Israel, to borrow a term of the Rav, that nation is Mamlachat Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. As a single entity, as a single unity, it has to guard its Kedusha. It has to guard the way that the Kedusha of the Machaneh, the camp, the way people live with each other. But it's all as a unit. And that's the Brit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes. The Brit starts at Har Sinai, and it ends the Har Sinai with the Tochacha. So what happens afterwards? After that Brit, it is certainly possible that an individual, qua individual, acting as an individual, wants to contribute to this enterprise. Bakasha. You know what? Even a goy can contribute to the enterprise. A goy can make a nedava. It's machloket whether a goy can do arachim as an object or a subject, but everybody agrees he can do part of it. Rabbi Yehuda or Meir. After the break, now we're talking about individuals. Parak HaVzayin is about the individual who wants to contribute as an individual to the Mishkan, to the enterprise of Kedusha. You've got your own flock. Every tenth one goes to Hashem. Fine. You want to make it, you want to dedicate your land and give it to Hashem? Fine, very nice. Here's how you redeem it. You want to dedicate your son's value or your mother's value or your sister's value to the Mikdash? Fine, here's how you do it. How old is she? What gender? Good, that's the price. That's the individual. The Brit is between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a single nation. Everything from Shmot Yotet until Vayikra Chavav speaks to a unit called the nation. And the composite parts that make up that holy nation. Parak Chav Zayin is about how the individual, outside of the periphery of the nation or inside it, as an individual, can contribute to that great enterprise, but only as an individual. And therefore, it does not belong in the Brit. These mitzvot are not part of the Brit. The Brit is between the one God, the one great king, and his one nation that he's ruling over as an individual. And now we understand why the Mekalel, unlike the Mekoshei Sheitzim, everybody asks the question, why is the Mekoshei Shein Bamidbar and the Mekalel's here? After all, time is not an issue. Because what did the Mekalel do? The Mekalel cursed the king in public. Defiled the public arena by using the king's name, God's name, to curse another person. Mekoshei, an individual, went out to collect wood on Shabbat, violated Shabbat, Chayav Mita. But that's as an individual. That's part of Sefer Bamidbar. That belongs to individuals. The Brit that we're talking about is a Brit between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the singular nation, Mamlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. And that's why this Tochacha ends with the words, Bahar Sinai. Because it takes all the way back to the first moment that we get to Har Sinai when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, U'shmartem et Briti. You will keep, if you agree to keep my Brit, you will be a Mamlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, which everything from that moment until this moment is about forming. So that's the reason Tocha doesn't end the book, is because it's still possible to be
individual.
As an individual, want to contribute to that enterprise of Kedusha. So therefore it cannot be in Bamidbar, which is about the individual acting as an individual. Here you are as an individual trying to be Mesanef, trying to like latch on to that corporate Kedusha. So it has to be in Vayikra, and that's why the end of Vayikra repeats the words Bar Sinai. But you're outside of the realm of this Brit, because the Brit is only about acting as part of the nation, not acting as an individual.